What's up, Central? How you doing? What's up, Holland? Man, so honored to be with you. What an amazing, amazing day. And love it when the city comes together for something like this. And I get to be a part of it. And I get to be a part of this great year-round weather that's this perfect. I'm telling you, I'm so jealous. You guys didn't tell me it's like this all year. Hey, I do got to say a big, huge thank you from Columbia, Tennessee, just south of Nashville. We are launching in 41 days. That makes it really real to me that we're going to launch as a church. Those of you that are clapping, most of you that really felt that deep in your soul, it's because you have given to that. You are a body of believers that not only give to Holland generously, but you also give to church plants all over the world, and I get to be one of the recipients of that. And I can just tell you, I want to take advantage of this opportunity here on Freedom Weekend to let you know that this was absolutely impossible for us to launch a church just south of Nashville, Tennessee, if it wasn't for you. So you have given something of yours to a people that maybe you'll never meet, in a state that maybe you'll never go, and that is very generous of you. So thank you, thank you, thank you. 245 years ago, on this very day, July 4th, 1776, the Second Continental Congress adopted unanimously, in unity, everyone say that with me, in unity, adopted the Declaration of Independence. And America was born. And ever since that day, even on a day like today, we get to experience the freedom as a result of that day. Just a minute ago, as we were singing, and we were not singing religious light, we were singing about revival in our town. Revival in our country. It wasn't light. It was straight up Jesus, and it was public, and it was right here in the parking lot. And that is because of the freedom that we experience as a country. And I don't know if you just kind of like that just passed you by, you didn't really understand that, but man, here we are. Happy birthday, America. Happy birthday, America. So the question is, what does it mean to be an American? What is an American? I think about several people that I know and several of the people that you know. The first person that comes to my mind is a guy named Greg. Greg is a stay-at-home parent who gives up the professional desires of his heart so that his spouse, his wife, can pursue her desires professionally. I think about Jada, a hard-working single mom working several jobs to give her children opportunity that she never had. I think about Katie. Katie, the young waitress who gives $25 to the Tornado Relief Fund in a state that she's never been. That's what it's like to be an American. Giving up something of yours for the benefit of others that you'll never meet. I think about the Nogler family, foster parents who open up their home and give up their freedom within their very home to bring in families and bring in children that they've never met before, complete strangers. I think about Nick. Nick, who gives up his margin in his life to, after work, he goes down the street and he trims the bushes for the widow at the end of the road. I think about Nicole, who gives bone marrow to a woman to save a woman's life that she's never met. That's what it's like to be an American. I think about Seth, who from a hard day's work, man, working hard, 10-hour day, comes home, pulls into the driveway, and immediately gets out of the car and plays hours and hours of basketball with his kids. I think about this group of people in Holland, Michigan, who give. Look to your right, look to your left. These are Americans that are giving to churches all over the world in places they'll never go. That's what it's like to be an American. I think about Hannah, This 18-year-old grad that I talked to last week who is giving up her freedom. She's finally free. She finally graduated. Freedom! And she enlists in 4 years of the Army to protect this country so that you and I can have the freedom that we have right now in this very moment. Every second of every day, Americans are giving up what they have to help those who do not have. We're here today celebrating the freedom in this country because of those who freely chose to give up their freedom so we can enjoy ours. Young men, young women who generously enlist into boot camp and rigorous routine to protect us. They can't go home whenever they want. They can't go to the 4th of July light show or the family picnic so that we can go with our families. We have freedom today because they gave up theirs. We're not only American when we show that kind of sacrifice, but we are never more like Jesus. When we sacrifice something of ours, we generously sacrifice our freedom so that others can have freedom. There's an extremely compelling passage of scripture in the book of Acts where we read about two men, and they modeled this kind of sacrifice. And I thought it would really inspire us today as we try to live this out in our lives. The Apostle Paul is on a second missionary journey, sharing the good news that Jesus Christ came and has given us eternal life. They come to a demon-possessed girl that was basically, she was being pimped out by her owners to predict people's future so that she can earn them money. When Paul and his buddies came by, she began following them around and shouting that they were servants of the God Most High. And she was telling them, hey, they're going around and sharing how you can be saved. And after several days of this, the Apostle Paul got really annoyed, and as you can imagine, I don't know if you've ever been followed around, but maybe it was a child or a group of children, like, why? In my mind, this is where I'm seeing Paul's at. He's like, oh my goodness, and he just, like, for me, he's like, turn around and say, you're grounded, all of you. I've never been there before, I promise. But Paul turns around and just completely just takes care of that demon-possessed woman, says, and the evil spirit left her body. Well, here is where the trouble begins. Because the owners obviously didn't like the fact that this slave lady now did not have the ability, this fortune-telling ability to make the owner's money. So what'd they do? You guys ask amazing questions. They arrested them. They arrested the leaders of this group. Now, Luke was there, but Luke was a Gentile. Timothy was a half-Jew, so they went after the leaders, but they also went after those that looked the most Jewish. That was Paul, and that was Silas. So they were arrested, and then they were beaten. It's interesting for us to know that there was a cap on how much you could beat a Roman citizen, but there was no cap on how much you could beat a Jew. So they were beat nearly to death. They were brought then before the big dog authorities, and vaguely they were accused of just making trouble, or creating some disruption, or creating some chaos, and that was more than enough to get them put into the harshest of prisons, to be beaten, and then put into the most uncomfortable shackles possible. These shackles that were designed specifically to create discomfort, to create leg cramping. So this is where they're at. Not a very good story, not very encouraging so far. Hold on, it gets good. So what happened next? In Acts 16, 25, the Bible tells us that around midnight, that these two, now remember, they've been beaten, they've been arrested, they've been in prison, they've been in shackles. These two men, Paul and Silas, what did they do? Get this, they were praying. They were singing hymns. And you may automatically think, man, they were singing hymns and they were praying, so please let us out, please let us out. God, please, please get us out. But they weren't. Actually, they're praying and singing probably had nothing to do. If you know these men, they were on a mission. They had their eyes on the prize. They were not praying and singing and saying, please, please, help, 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 like we do. Oh, they were praying and singing about something that's just about to happen. It likely had nothing to do with them. And then there was a but God moment. Anyone here ever had a but God moment? You were going one direction, but God. You were going to make this one decision, but God. You were going to marry that one person, but God. Yeah, I mean, there's this but God moments, and here's this but God moment. The Bible says that suddenly, everyone say suddenly. Those online, I didn't hear you. Suddenly, right? Suddenly, after the praying, after the singing, there was a violent earthquake, and the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. You may think, man, this is such a this is ironic. This is it's irony that this happened, but when's the last earthquake that you read about or you watched on the news where every single door comes wide open and every chain comes loose? This is clearly a supernatural act from God. And you won't believe what happens next. The jailer that's supposed to be in control, he wakes up. When he sees that the doors are open, he immediately prepares to kill himself. He's filled with shame. He's like, oh my goodness, I fell asleep on the job. All the prisoners are gone. I'm useless. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get killed for this. But Paul and Silas, they stayed. Paul and Silas stayed. Paul's like, whoa, 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 chill out, dude. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Whoa, we're here. We didn't go anywhere. The jailer then, put yourself in the story. The jailer then has this double take moment. What? You're still here? Are you psycho? Are you cray cray? What are you doing still here? And because that's such a peculiar activity, because that's so crazy, he immediately says, they must have something that I don't have. And then he asks them how he can be saved. The jailer then accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then he starts washing the wounds that he probably created just hours before. What in the world? Talk about 180 degrees. Then he goes one step further and invites them over to his house to break bread, to have dinner. Talk about the most ultimate sign of unity. And then the next morning, Paul and Silas are officially released. You know, it would have been easy for Paul and Silas to escape thinking, God has just provided this miraculous jailbreak. I mean, we were doing some great things. We were out preaching the gospel, man. We did all. We got in prison. We got arrested. We got beaten for Christ. We've got an A+ when it comes to the grade for kingdom work. But to them, don't miss this, the lives of others were more important than their own personal freedom. More important than their own personal comfort. The circumstances said escape, but love said to stay. To stay for the sake of one soul. They were not guided by circumstances, but by what love compelled. I wonder, a question for all of us, what do we have the freedom to do, but we shouldn't? Because it does harm to those who have not yet been set spiritually free. The jailer fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, the Bible tells us. This was as dramatic as it sounds. It's amazing that he was more affected by the grace and love by Paul and Silas than he was a stinking earthquake. It's amazing how much power when we show love and grace it can have on people. Starts washing the actual wounds that he created. The jailer was so impressed by Paul and Silas, specifically by the love that they showed him. and for their ability to radiate joy in the midst of misery. How are we doing with that? How much are we radiating joy in the midst of misery? This is how God wants us to live our lives, as natural magnets, drawing people to Him. Now, some of you may wonder that this is a little bit too easy of a salvation moment. Some have questioned Paul's invitation to salvation, saying it's too easy or it's some kind of cheap grace. Others refuse to preach repentance because of this very text. Paul never specifically asked the jailer to repentance. Why? Well, the jailer obviously showed tremendous repentance. He fell and trembled. He washed the wounds that he had created, or likely created, or his posse had created. You can't get more 180 degrees than that. Paul did not direct him to counseling. He didn't give him a lecture in theology. He didn't talk to him about the sacraments, or even talk to him about the church, or talk to him about the appropriate terminology. He simply pointed an obviously repentant man to faith in Jesus Christ. What's the point here? Again, you guys ask amazing questions. Paul and Silas gave up their freedom so that the jailer can find his. They had the chance for freedom, but they stayed enslaved for the freedom of others. Folks, we started our time together talking about Greg, the stay-at-home parent. We talked a little bit about Jada, the single, hard-working mom. We talked a little bit about Katie, the American who generously gave to her tornado relief fund in a state she's never been. We talked about the foster parents, the Noglers. We talked about Nick trimming the bushes for a widow down the street. We talked about Nicole donating bone marrow. We also talked about Seth. And Seth is a hardworking guy who came home to play basketball with his kids for hours and hours and hours, all the way till 10 p.m. We talked about the generosity of Central. And we talked about Hannah protecting our country, giving up her freedom. We then spent some time diving into the sacrificial story of Paul and Silas, who gave up their physical freedom so someone else could experience spiritual freedom. Folks, let's be a people that continue this kind of spirit. It is generosity amongst all of us that will keep us unified as a country, unified as a city, unified as a people. It's also important for us all to remember that the ultimate example of this kind of sacrifice and love was demonstrated by who? Jesus, our Savior, who died on an old rugged cross so that we could experience spiritual freedom, and so all of us could be here today feeling that gentle breeze on our face. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 9 says, though he, Jesus, was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to, but rather, what did he cling to? Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position, he sacrificed and took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being, a divine being, born a human being, sacrifice. And then when he appeared in human form, he further sacrificed. He further humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Lastly, I can't help but notice in this story, Paul and Silas were arrested. They were beaten. They were imprisoned for doing good. Not doing bad, doing good. And Paul and Silas were filled with joy. What? and we're singing praises to God. Why? Because they were on a mission that was bigger than their comfort, bigger than their freedom, but for others' freedom. And what cued the earthquake? Do you know what changed everything right before the suddenly? Well, it was singing. That's when the script was flipped. Folks, I don't know what you need to break free from today. I don't know what needs to shake loose in your life. But I think that singing to God with all your heart, well, it's a great place to start. I want to invite you to sing. Let's sing thanking God for America's freedom. Let's sing thanking God for our personal freedom, for our spiritual freedom. And thanking Him in advance for all those that are going to be spiritually set free in the days ahead right here at Central. Let's stay united, Central. Let's stay united, Holland. Let's continue to sacrifice for each other. Let's sing together.